Hello all, and welcome to today's live fundraising success webinar, The Measure of Success, sponsored by Salsa Labs. Before we get going, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Alexis Henderson, Fundraising Success's Director of E-Learning. I'll be filling in for Margaret Battistelli-Gardner as host of today's event. Margaret, unfortunately, is not able to be here today due to a family emergency. She's left us in good hands with today's speakers, though. They've put together a fantastic presentation designed to help you quantitatively measure success tied to email and online fundraising campaigns. Before I introduce the experts, though, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget marked with a question mark below, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all of the widgets along the bottom of your console. And speaking of, if you're curious about what all these widgets can do, click on the one marked with the wrench and gears icon for a cheat sheet explaining each widget and how you can customize your console and interact as you listen today. Okay, with that out of the way, time to introduce the speakers. Today we're going to hear from Elliot Wilkerson and Brett Shanker. Elliot is the digital media supervisor at Russ Reed. Elliot came from the corporate world, where he helped companies such as DirecTV and Public Storage deliver qualified online traffic through paid search, organic search, and display advertising. With over 7 years of e-commerce and digital media experience, he has a strong background in web analytics, including a focus on how to track and optimize online campaigns effectively and understanding how offline activities influence web results. His expertise includes a thorough understanding of the initial setup required to track results across a variety of digital media, coupled with practical real-time optimization of campaigns to clients' KPIs. He is responsible for managing and maximizing the online fundraising campaigns for all of Russ Reed's nonprofit clients who work in the digital space. Brett Shanker is Senior Deliverability Manager at Salsa Labs and has been involved with politics, technology, and databases for more than a decade. Originally hailing from Buffalo, New York, Brett moved to Arlington, Virginia in 2003 to serve as a special assistant to Senator John Kerry working on Capitol Hill. Brett went on to found 5B Consulting, which focuses on new media strategy, technology policy, and database solutions. Now he works for Salsa Labs as a technologist specializing in database management, social media, and email deliverability. Thanks for being here today, guys. Brett, why don't you get us started?
Hey, everyone. I hope you're having a good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. So I'm going to start off really talking about email and things you need to keep in mind when running a fundraising campaign. So I always kind of live under the statement of what gets measured gets done. And there's a couple things that you can really measure when it comes to email. And they're usually pretty simple and straightforward in whatever system you receive or you're using, but we're going to explain them all. So things that you can really track in email is the open rate of the emails, clicks, conversions, and then you should be able to figure out from there traffic of your fundraising page of email versus social media versus web, how much is raised, and then through it all, A-B testing if you're into that. I'm going to explain every single one of these. So first up is opens. Now, open rates for emails isn't ever what you're really going to want to measure when it comes to fundraising online. The reason being is that open rates is the shakiest of all stats. The way it actually works is whenever you get sent an email, there's a small pixel-by-pixel image that gets downloaded, and that's what gets measured. So the issue is more people don't download images, and more, think about the email programs you use. It tends not to be the default. This stat actually gets less and less reliable. But clicks themselves are actually pretty reliable. The links that are in an email get tracked themselves. So that's a very solid statistic that you can look at, how many people actually click links. And some email programs will also show you how many times they've clicked links. And then there's conversion. You might hear this come up a lot in this conversation, but conversion is how many people you can drive to take that action. In this case, donating money. So you sent 1,000 emails. Out of that 1,000 emails, how many of those people actually give. Well, that's your kind of end result. And on top of that, your traffic. So from there, you should be able to, you know, if you've got Google Analytics set up or some other program, should be able to weed out the fundraising where people are actually coming from. How much in a fundraising campaign is coming from the emails you send versus the social media, so Facebook, Twitter, versus how many people just kind of stumble upon it from the web, maybe coming to your website. All these things are really important metrics that you should look at. Because in the end, you want, you know, you have goals that you have to meet. You want to know how much you raise, and specifically what's working. You know, if you have an email program that's not getting it done, it's not really raising money, and it's a lot more work than what it's bringing in, you might want to look elsewhere. Same with social media, and same with your web. You know, that statistic right there will help you focus where you need to put your energy as far as either getting the most bang for your buck or where you have a sorry, I've been told to speak louder. And in the end, you know, you want to know your overall money that you raise. And finally, there's this thing called A/B testing. You know, I don't know, don't want to get too much in the weeds of this, but a lot of great email systems allow you to test out messaging and see what works. A/B testing, the short version of it, because you can do a presentation just on A/B testing, allows you to take an email and split it off into small segments and test to see what if certain subject lines work better, or maybe even the body of the email works better. And depending on the statistics, then be able to send that best statistic to the rest of your list. And that kind of brings us to this important thing, cater to your audience. I've run email programs for organizations, campaigns, you name it. I've been a part of it. And the thing you got to keep in mind is your email list is not just a waterfall that you can turn on and get tons of money. You really have to pay attention to where these people came from, what they're reacting to, and what they actually want to hear from you. You know, the fact is that some people just aren't going to give when it comes to email programs. Some people are going to give all the time. And it's really important because how your entire list reacts matters. So if you have a very large segment that's never going to give when it comes to fundraising, you're probably going to eventually want to stop emailing those people because they can actually affect the deliverability of the people who do want to hear from you. It's a very tricky balance because obviously you don't want to not contact certain people and possibly leave money on the table. So you really need to pay attention to where people are coming from when it comes to your email list and what they react to. And you can all measure all that through things like open clicks and the source of where they sign up from, which I think Elliot will talk to a little bit more. The messaging is important. What do they want to hear? And we're going to talk about targeting a little bit later. The things I've learned is you don't want to dilute your message. You want one hard ask per email. If you're doing fundraising, you don't want to sit there and say, take action, read this article, oh, yeah, and give us money. You want to make your case in the email with that one ask. Keep it focused. Keep it on message. Keep it exciting and getting people to want to give. The more you add to the email, the more distractions you put, the less likely it's going to be effective. You know, keep in mind that when it comes to fundraising email, it's actually fairly difficult. Think about Nigerian scams, the amount of people that email you that ask for money in very shady ways. Unfortunately, the big thing to keep in mind is that all affects your email's deliverability. Using the words like millions of dollars in an email is very, very difficult. Saying help us get millions of dollars just isn't going to work. It's more likely things are going to wind up in spam folders and your message isn't going to get into the people that you want to see from. And formatting. The simpler the formatting, the better. So I bring that, come back to the spam and the request for urgent business relationship. fact is what other people are doing when it comes to email affects you and your fundraising program. Nigerian scams make it very, very difficult to raise money nowadays, and there's so many rules when it comes to email filtering systems that make it difficult to get simple fundraising asks into people's inboxes. The other is that content, that targeting, that messaging. What's very popular and what you should be doing is using dynamic content. If someone constantly gives you $25 online, why would you ever ask for $5 or $15? Most email systems, you should be able to put code into your email that will pull information and allow you to get a better ask for your audience. Example, Salsa, you can base your ask on their last giving and then up a percent maybe. So, hey, you gave $25 your last email, your last time, can you give $35 this time? So you should be using their past giving history for your current targeting and current ask. Interaction matters. So just sending an email isn't very helpful. You need to have that action and that ask in the email. And why does this matter? It's because deliverability. Email service providers like Gmail, Yahoo, AOL focus on how people react to your email. I mean, we can go on for a much longer presentation talking about targeting and how to order your emails and stuff like that, but you need to keep in mind that if you have a large segment of the audience that never takes action, there's going to be less likely your email is going to make it to the inbox. More likely it's going to be in spam box. And in Gmail, for instance, it's less likely to be on priority. You want to give people a reason to click. It matters not just for the current email that you're sending, but your future ones. So having an email in general of your email program is a waste of time. It really will hurt the long-term value of your list. And what I've shown is there's just easy measures of activity, opens, clicks, and conversions. So targeting is key. You want to find why people came to your list and what they're going to react to. If someone really doesn't want to get email asks or fundraising asks, then they probably shouldn't be on your fundraising email. They'll be more likely to click the spam button and hurt your overall deliverability. The days of just sending out one message to everyone are over. You want dynamic content. You want people to get the most out of them possible. So that issue of asking for 25 instead of 15 when they've always given 25. At the same time, if someone's constantly cutting your organization, $5,000 checks, why would you ever send them an email asking for $5? One, it's going to seem silly to them, and two, it's a waste of their time, a waste of your time. They're just probably not going to do it. So overall, I mean, the more interested they are in your emails, the more, the better the pitch you give them, the better the story you make, the case you make to give money, the less likely they're unsubscribed, the less likely you're going to mark your emails as spam, and the more likely they're going to take action, and overall your deliverability is going to be good. The other place you can learn some of this stuff from is reading responses. People are going to respond back when you send an email, so always check their reply box. A perfect example when I talk about this targeting is this: an organization a week ago sent out, I think, 9 emails in a 3-day period. The first email, I didn't respond. I didn't open it. I didn't click it. Yet I get another fundraising ask. I didn't do anything from there. And another fundraising ask, and another fundraising ask, and another fundraising ask. After the second email I received, they should have known better that I'm just not going to react and give them money, and they should have cut me off. Instead, what they wound up doing is destroying their deliverability in the second day of this 3-day and hurting their long-term fundraising prospects in that email chain and story that they were sending. And here's why this matters. I keep on bringing up spam for a very specific reason. Because the more unlikely, the worse email habits you have, the more likely you're going to wind up in spam, and spam causes you to leave money on the table. So here's the perfect example. And this is stats from Salsa Labs, so I'm kind of giving you a little bit of the inside. You can see since November, more emails winding up in spam boxes. So that's that bulk stat. And this isn't just us. ReturnPath, which is a major email provider or monitoring service, reports stats that are very similar, if not worse. So in November, things were 13.6% of all emails were winding up in spam boxes. In April, 21.6% wound up in spam boxes, an increase of 8% during that time period. It's a huge amount when you think of hundreds of thousands of emails that go out. And here's why this matters. So here's the math. So in November, I kind of used some generic numbers, if you were to send 10,000 emails and wound up 86.3% in your inbox, that's 8,600 emails delivered. And we're going to say 10% click rate, 863 people clicking, and let's say your donation's $5 per person on average. It's $4,300 that they're giving. If you take that same information in the April, where the 8% decrease happened, you're only raising $3,900. That's losing almost $400 per email. That's a huge number if you add it up over a year. I mean, that's possibly the entire cost of whatever email system that you're using, and that's because of bad habits and bad targeting. So this is a huge thing, something you really, really want to focus on and keep in mind when you are looking at your overall program. This is why you want to target. This is why you want to ask people what they want to hear from, and this is why you need to pay attention to what people are doing. Going back to that beginning, that's why that paying attention to open rates, paying attention to click rates, and paying attention to click conversion rates when it comes to email is kind of the key three things you need to be doing all the time. If someone's never opening email, you should stop emailing them because, as I've shown here, it's actually going to hurt your overall program and lead to issues. And there's a golden rule, and this always seems to get me in trouble when people don't like hearing this. Do not buy lists. I constantly, when I've worked on campaigns, when I've worked with organizations, I get the pressure of we need to meet this number. We need to raise this amount of money. Why isn't our email list growing this much? What are workarounds we can get? Hey, this person approached us about buying a list. Never, ever, ever do it. It doesn't work. It actually causes issue. It increases complaint rates. It increases the likelihood emails are going to spam. And I showed why that's a horrible thing and why that can cause issues. So no matter what pressure it's put upon you, always stand firm on this particular issue. Never give in because I've only seen it backfire and always cause issues in the long run that could shut down your program, can cause you to not be able to send emails for quite a long time. And internally, when looking at stats, what we're finding, what I found is organizations that have an actual organic growth in their list. So, they're driving people to their website through Google Ads. They're driving people to their website through Facebook posts, through Twitter posts. They're getting people to share those emails. Those are the successful organizations that aren't seeing massive decreases of their open rates of emails and emails going to spam inbox. Instead, they're seeing growth. Environmental Working Group is a great organization, a perfect example of this. They don't buy lists. They drive people to the website. They give them interesting campaigns to look at. They get them excited through email, and they see the results when it comes to their fundraising. It's just an excellent program and a complete gold standard. So I'm sure we're going to have tons of questions when it comes to email, but we're going to save that to the end. And I believe up next is Elliot to talk about general web.
Great. Hi, everybody. Today I'm going to be going over web analytics in general, go through some of the basic terminology so you all understand what the most important metrics are. And then also I'll try and dive into, at least from a top level, the main drivers of traffic to your website, how you can really start driving and getting more people to visit your site, which will also give you some more data to work with when it comes to looking at your results. So in general, let's start off with the terminology. Just so you all know, web analytics is the measurement, collection, analysis, and reporting of internet data. In general, there's many different tools you can use, web analytics tools. And I guess I don't want to promote any specific ones, but in general, Google Analytics is most widely used, I would say, and it's also free. So if you're just starting off in the space, I'd highly recommend at least testing with Google Analytics or possibly some other free tools, and then you may move on to some of the more advanced tools. Most important metric that we really would look at and are most interested in are visits, the total amount of time someone will come to your site over any date range. Our main goal is really to drive volume, relevant traffic to your website, get people interested in your organizations, get them reading your content, and by doing that, that will naturally grow the amount of revenue and donations you'll track online. Unique visits and visitors are also extremely important metric. You want to keep track of the unique number of people that are visiting your site over any date range. It's great to have the same users come back over and over again, especially if you are providing a lot of great content and refresh content. But in general, we want to see an increase in the unique amount of visitors over time, because that's really where you're going to grow your donor lists and the amount of donations you're getting. Page views, the number of times a certain page has been seen or viewed, which makes sense. It depends on really what your organization is trying to do or how large your website is. This number can really fluctuate based on the type of content you have. But in general, you want to keep track of how many times per week or per month your pages are being viewed as a whole. And if you're starting to see that decrease dramatically, then that can affect your strategy when it comes to driving more traffic and then also refreshing or updating your content. Average time on site, great metric. You want to keep track of, on average, how long users are staying on your website. It really depends what your goals are. If you're more of a content-based site, you want to see that average time a little bit higher than normal. If your main goal is really to land someone on a giving page and get them to give right away, then you need to take that into account, and you probably want to see a lower average time on site. Bounce rate, also another great metric for measuring the quality of traffic coming to your site, and this is basically the percentage of visitors who hit your website and their next action is to leave your website. In general, that it's a negative measurement. We don't want people to leave after just viewing one page. In some cases, it could be a good thing if they're coming to check out information for an event or for volunteering. They could come to one page, get everything they need, and leave. But in general, when it comes to fundraising, we want them to look around or at least go through the conversion funnel and get through the donation process. The two main types of traffic I wanted to go over and included here were direct traffic and search traffic. Direct traffic is mainly when the measurement of people typing in your actual web address, your domain, or coming in through a bookmark. In most cases, direct traffic are current donors or people who have heard of your organization through other channels. Mainly offline or other online programs you're running. So singling out your direct traffic is a great way to get a better understanding of how some of your other channels are pushing traffic online. Search traffic is basically any visitor coming to your website from a search engine, whether it's organic search or paid search. Search engines are used immensely. It's growing from month to month as we move forward. The main engines are Google, Yahoo, and Bing. In December 2011, so it's a little bit old, but in the U.S., about 18 billion searches were made. There's just an immense amount of traffic. And the great thing about search engines are that people imply their intent based on the keywords they're using. They're entering certain keywords to try and find relevant and useful information. So we're able to measure how much traffic is coming to our site out at the keyword level and able to see really what people are most interested in or what they're trying to learn about. Next slide is just a general screenshot of a dashboard. This is from Google Analytics, but most web analytics tools will have a dashboard feature. This is a great way to have kind of a top-level snapshot of all of the major metrics that you need to keep in mind when looking at your website. And you can adjust it really to look at just the current day's results. We are working in real time when it comes to web analytics, so we can see up to, in most cases, the last hour, really what's going on your website. Another nice thing about dashboards is you can look at monthly views, yearly views. You can look at year over year, month over month, day over day. It really comes down to what's most important for you. I hope you can all see the slide pretty well, but I'll just go over some of the basic metrics that I would keep track of on a daily basis. Obviously, we're in the fundraising business, so we want to know really how many donations and revenue are coming in on a daily basis. So that's really the most important thing to keep in mind. Next is really your breakdown of traffic. What percentage of your total traffic is coming from direct traffic, search engines, referral, or other campaigns, and social as well. And then on the screenshot, you can see most of the metrics I went over in the terminology slide are listed there. And that's just a basic way of keeping track of any major fluctuations. It's just good to keep know exactly what your averages are in those for those metrics. All right. So why web analytics? In general, we're in fundraising. We're somewhat data driven. We want to know the most there is about our target audience. And when it comes to anything online, through your website or any digital campaigns you're running, you're actually getting some of the most valuable data you can get in real time, and you can see exactly what people are trying to find from you and your organization, what content they're reading, and then also really track how successful your campaigns are doing. The real-time data is really the most important piece of this. Is we can, based on the volume of traffic, we can make decisions extremely quickly. Brett brought up A/B testing at one point. That's extremely easy to do online because we can see exactly what the results are immediately and make a decision on a winner and then move on to the next test. Same thing applies for really any digital campaign you would be running. We can get almost an instant view of how they're performing, what the ROI is, and make decisions on do we need to adjust our strategy, our creative, do we need to pull back, is it doing really well, can we put more budget towards it, whatever it may be. Conversion rates, extremely important as well. Web analytics, you can really dive into any specific segment. Most important is really traffic sources. Like I said before, direct traffic is usually a great measure of your current donors and then also anyone that might be reached from other channels. So if you're looking at your conversion rates just with direct traffic, if you're seeing any drastic changes and you know that you were running a major radio spot or a TV program or just had a major direct mail drop, That would help explain any of the adjustments in conversion rates. I already talked about keywords, but that's another really important thing to keep track of when it comes to revenue tied to each individual keyword. If you're seeing a lot of traffic coming in through specific keywords, you can start adjusting your content, even your creative, to include those type of terms. In some cases, as marketers, as fundraisers, we kind of live up in our own world. We know our own terminology, and that's maybe not always what our own customers or potential donors would refer to things. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Another great thing about web analytics is we can have overlays or see exactly how users are interacting with our website. We can see what links they're clicking on, what buttons they're clicking on a majority of the time. For us, really, it comes down to the conversion funnel for the donation process. We want to see how people are entering that conversion funnel, whether it's clicking on certain buttons, on links, through images, and we want to make sure that we're making it as easy as possible to get into that donation process. So you want to keep track of those percentage amount of times people are clicking on certain elements, and that really can affect your A/B testing or any refreshes you might make on your homepage or in your navigation. Another extremely important metric and thing we can keep track of and with using a web analytics tool are really page views, what content is being viewed on the most. If that's one of your main goals, is to keep people interested, get them to come back on a regular basis, refreshing content, you want to see what content most people are interested in, and then make sure that you're providing more information in those areas. Next slide is getting into really the main drivers for a website. What's bringing most of the traffic to your site, and how we can really use those to our advantage. This is a general kind of layout of it's a very simple way of looking at it, but it kind of explains how all these different channels are working together. In general, your offline and earned traffic, anything coming from broadcast, radio, direct mail, PR, events, will usually either funnel through search or directly to your website. Display and video traffic, again, they're kind of more awareness drivers. In most cases, they won't get someone to click through directly to your website, but it will funnel people through the search engines, and in some cases, they'll come back to your website at a later date or click through at a lower percentage of the time. Brett did a great job going over email. Obviously, that's funneled directly to your website or through a unique giving form or giving page, but that's one of the key drivers of and really one of the main revenue drivers when it comes to your website. Social media is a constantly evolving channel, but in general, you'll have traffic kind of going back and forth between your social media pages and your website, whether that's your Facebook page, YouTube, Twitter account, or Pinterest. So in general, once you understand roughly how your traffic is interacting with search and your website, you can start to pick apart trends or major fluctuations in that using web analytics tools. And that hopefully will give you a better idea of, mainly when it comes to your offline, how that's pushing traffic to your website, revenue, and donations. It's becoming very difficult when it comes to your offline tracking to actually measure your total results. Response mechanisms are changing. It's very easy to donate online or through your mobile phone, and you're going to get people who have been reached by your direct mail, broadcast, radio, and not follow the normal response mechanisms. They're going to come in online. We're not going to be able to track them back directly to those campaigns. So all you can do is use your web analytics to put together the best possible view of really how your traffic's changing, how the revenue's changing online, and start to evaluate your offline programs using that information. Nice thing about web analytics is really you're getting all this instant information, and as I said, with A/B testing and content refreshes, you're going to be able to optimize your website and really make it a well-oiled machine and improve your conversion rates, making sure you're abandonment rates are very low. That's the percentage of the time people are falling off in your donation process. It makes it really easy to make decisions at the end of the day. Next slide. I'm going to dive into a little bit more how we can start to measure our offline to online traffic and conversions. I've talked about it a little bit already. I just wanted to kind of go into more detail here. As I said before, response mechanisms are slowly changing over time. We're seeing that in most of our results when it comes to direct mail, broadcast, radio, really any of the traditional fundraising channels. Obviously, as I've brought up, websites are great. They're instant information. You have the power to really look at any information you want at any time. And it's also very easy to complete a donation. You can put it on your credit card, and you can potentially help the organization a little bit faster when it comes to getting your donation in their hands. My main point here is really what we're seeing is that offline campaigns are still really doing what they're supposed to do. They're getting in front of people. They're reaching them. They're letting them know there's a need, that there's an organization there within their market or nationally that helps fill that need. It's just a matter of trying to piece together exactly where those donations are coming in. They're still reaching their target audience in general, so just keep that in mind. When it comes to potential donors and online, you can reach a unique audience by using specific digital campaigns, whether it's focusing on paid search, organic search, running a display campaign, doing email, online video, social media, whatever it is. You can reach a new target audience, and you can also reach the same target audience as your offline campaigns. Studies have shown more and more people are spending time on a daily basis on their digital devices, whether it's mobile phones, tablets, computers. So it's really just a new place to reach that audience. Again, letting them know there's a need and that your organization is there filling that need. The best way to get an understanding of how all of your channels are working together is really using your web analytics, looking at your daily results over time. And as you move forward, you can start to put together those day-over-day, month-over-month, year-over-year results as a whole, and then also for individual traffic sources, keywords, or really whatever you want to look at. Again, I talked about direct traffic, and even search traffic are the most likely areas that your offline campaigns will be influencing. So if you segment those and just look at them and look at year-over-year, month-over-month, day-over-day results, you can start to see spikes in traffic, conversion rates, revenue, average gift, and that when you overlay your general marketing calendars and see those specific dates where your mail pieces are dropping, if you have any TV buys, radio spots, whatever it is, you can get a better understanding of how everything's working together and really give the credit to what's driving a majority of that traffic or increase in performance. When it comes to national campaigns and national organizations, it's a little bit easier to measure offline to online results, specifically with location-specific buys. So, say, for broadcast, if you're only buying long form or short form in specific markets at any time of the year, we can look at just results for those cities and look at year-over-year results. It's just a way to kind of refine the data and kind of block out any potential noise and really just pinpoint results in that individual market. I hope you can see this slide pretty well, but this is just a screenshot of a general geographic performance report in Google Analytics. Any web analytics tool should really give you a geographic feature down to the city level. Unfortunately, it's not done with a DMA level, so it makes it a little bit harder to really analyze broadcast buys or radio buys when you're buying at the DMA level. But in general, just having the city-specific results is extremely helpful in trying to pinpoint those offline channels and how they're influencing your traffic. I hope you can see this, but in general, it'll show visits by market, revenue, donations, average gift, conversion rate, and really the main metrics we want to see when we're trying to determine the value of any of our campaigns. So in general, we've talked about web analytics, roughly kind of different traffic sources or campaigns that you can run online. But in general, I wanted to leave you with six main things to keep in mind when you're focusing your efforts online. Obviously, web analytics is number one. If you're not measuring how your campaigns are doing or your website, you're missing out on a lot of valuable data. So I highly recommend implementing some sort of web analytics tool. Google Analytics, again, is free and provides the basics of what you would need to get started at least. Web optimization, obviously your website is extremely important. You want to make sure that you're taking advantage of all the traffic you're getting on your site and you're making it as easy as possible to donate, and then also giving the most compelling information that will hopefully at the end of the day increase engagement with your organization and hopefully increase the amount of donations you get. SEM, SEO, search engine marketing, search engine optimization, it's basically just focusing on search engines. There's a massive amount of traffic that you can get from search engines. It's very qualified traffic in most cases. So the more presence you can get within search engines, the more traffic you can get, the better your website's really going to perform at the end of the day. General traffic drivers outside of search and email are really just display advertising, banners, video, social media ads, and that's more of kind of on the awareness side. They can be a direct response vehicle, depending on your creative and your landing pages, but in general, it's a way to get in front of a lot of people within a specific market or nationally. Obviously, social media is becoming more important as we move forward. It's a great way to engage with your current donors and get people interested in really talking within themselves about your organization or the need. You want to have some presence there and make sure that you have a strategic plan when it comes to your posts, any ads that you might be running, or really just trying to grow your fan base. Last thing to keep in mind is really how you can best integrate your online and offline efforts. Again, we want to measure how they could be influencing each other, and then also make sure that we're integrating the creative messaging offers and really see how that can affect your overall performance when it comes to offline and online. So that's about it. I'm sure you have a lot of questions for both Brett and I, and I think we'll start the Q&A session.
Yeah, there are a ton of questions in the queue, so I guess we'll just dive right in. Thank you guys so much for all of the information. A quick reminder to all the folks that are logged into the webinar, you can download the slide presentation directly from the console. The widget is marked with a file folder. Highly recommend it because there's a lot of great tips and checklists included in the PDF, so I would definitely take advantage of the ability to do that. And if you're having any trouble downloading, you can always send a Q&A into our tech support, and we'll help you out. Like I said, we have a lot of questions in the queue, but you are welcome to continue submitting them as we start to dive in, so be mindful of that as well. I'm going to start with Brett. A question from the audience about how to about certain words that you want to avoid in email subject lines. And if there are, I know you touched on that briefly, but are there any words or any wording that you recommend to improve response when you're emailing?
I mean, it really depends on your audience, which makes it a bit difficult. You really have to cater for what will get them, and that's where a lot of the A-B testing that myself and Elliot brought up comes into play. The funny thing is there was a test to see what's the most effective subject line, and it's just four simple words of "we're in this together." Always return the highest open rate and click rates. But really, there is no golden rule as far as that. Every email system should have spam checking built in to allow you to see if any words you're using will get you into trouble.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm sure there's probably some lists you can Google as well in terms of buzzwords to avoid and all that jazz. Okay, let's bounce over to Elliot. We have a question from someone about search engines and how they tailor results to users based on cookies and previous searches, i.e. giving results that they think you want versus results generated on a public computer without cookies. Can you talk a little bit about how this influences evaluation of search traffic rates and analytics?
Sure, that's a great question. A few years back, the search engines made some of our jobs a little bit harder when they introduced personalized search. And you're right, they do tailor or adjust the results based on your user behavior, what sites you click on the most, what ads you click on the most, and it's mainly done if you are logged into a user account. In general, it can fluctuate your results somewhat when it comes to your organic traffic, and that can affect how you're analyzing the specific traffic coming from a keyword. The main thing is, specifically for organic search, is you want to tailor what you're doing towards the masses, what the natural result is, and you can't really affect personalized search at all, so you want to just take that out of the equation. Now, again, it can kind of adjust or influence how much traffic is coming in through certain keywords in general, but as long as you're keeping running keyword rankings, seeing where your general or natural rankings are, that's all you can really affect. I hope that answered the question.
I think so. I think it's definitely a good start. We have a couple of people asking about, you know, the one web analytics stat that is more important than the other, or the most important one. If you could only track one, Elliot, which would you say that you should focus on?
That's a tough question.
Right?
but in general, we are fundraisers. Our main goal is to drive revenue and donations. So conversion rate is really, I'd say, the most important. But again, it comes down to what you're trying to accomplish with your website. Average time on site could be a really important one if you're really just trying to get people engaged with your organization. But in general, as fundraisers, conversion rates, average gift amount, as long as you are keeping track of those metrics at individual traffic source levels, that will tell you probably the most important story of how your overall campaigns are doing, and throughout the year determine what your seasonality is and really areas that you need to focus on at certain times of the year.
And can you speak to how long you should be able to track someone who's come to your site from a specific campaign?
So it depends on what analytics tool you're using. I believe Google Analytics has a 2-year cookie window. So as long as someone's not clearing their cookies or blocking cookies, you can track someone back to that original campaign visit for 2 years. Now, if someone does come in through a separate, unique campaign that you've tagged, that campaign will get credit. They use a last-click model. But if they come in directly to the site through a bookmark or some other way that's not a campaign, that the original campaign will get the credit. There are other tools like Omniture Site Catalyst, tracks for up to 10 years, I believe. And then some of the more advanced tools, you'll actually get into tracking a conversion path, so you can see all of the different ways someone came to your site before they made a donation. And then you can use different attribution models, last click, first click, even distribution, and a few others.
Fantastic. Okay, so back to email. Brett, you stated your golden rule in the presentation not to buy an email list. So can you talk a little bit about how you can develop your email list if most of your emails, especially if most of your emails are, you know, geared towards asking for donations?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of different methods. One would be driving people to your website and getting them to sign up through a simple, you know, sign up for emails form. You know, driving them through online ads, getting them to go from your social networks. That's going to be one of your main components of doing things, doing that. Getting names when you're offline, so if you're at an event or petitions that you're having people sign up like on the streets. It's another great way of getting emails. Pretty much always ask for emails. So even when you're sending an offline mailer, you should still give people the opportunity to send write down their email if they're sending a card back. People will sign up that way all the time. But most importantly is when you do those offline or even online methods of getting emails, you should be following up immediately and saying thanks for signing up and maybe give a hint as to how they signed up to get them comfortable and welcome to your list so they're not kind of jarred, especially if offline, they get it offline. The other would be is why I always say never buy lists. You know, there is the possibility of doing what's known as an append. So an append is you take the data you already have of people you have a relationship with, so let's say people who are always cutting you a check, and then matching up their data on, you know, online through sources. There's risk doing that because you can get complaints, but there's also, I've seen success with that as well. The thing is every audience is different when it comes to reacting that sort of thing, so it's just a couple of different methods. I mean, ads is a great way, and then there's always word of mouth, getting people to share pages themselves on Facebook, Twitter. I mean, that's always the best. To have someone vouching for you helps give you credibility for others.
Sure, great. Switching gears a little bit to mobile, where it relates to both emails and web analytics. First, Brett, in terms of open rates, is it possible to track that when users are reading their email via smartphone?
It's all based off of the images. So iOS, Apple products tend to download images. So you'll see oftentimes Apple products and people who are reading on iOS being overcompensated. It really depends on each service. Images tend to not be the default downloaded. So out of everything, open rates is very underreported. So if anyone's ever focused on just open rates, they're looking at the wrong metric. Clicks is a great thing to really kind of measure off of because clicks are a hard thing to track. You know when someone clicks. And often you'll sometimes find people who are recorded as a click and not opened as recorded as an open because of this. So open out of everything is the weakest, especially for mobile reading. I mean, open rates are down, I think, 9% since 2009. So wow. It's a very weak statistic to look at.
And then when it comes to web analytics, Elliot, can you talk a little bit about how an analytics tool would track folks that are viewing on a mobile phone, viewing sites on a mobile phone versus on a PC or computer?
Yes, so mobile tracking is possible. Again, a lot of web analytics tools are based, are work primarily off of cookies and JavaScript. So there's some mobile phones that are harder to track than others, mainly Apple products when it comes to cookies just aren't possible. So you're able to look at your mobile performance, page views, donations, revenue, traffic, people clicking through and what they're interacting with on their first visit, it's harder to track them in the long run. mobile is becoming a major player in the space when it comes to tablets and mobile phones for advertising. More and more dollars are being spent with mobile. So it's only a matter of time where the tracking catches up, and you're going to get to a level where we're seeing similar tracking ability that we currently see with website tracking.
Great. So I have a couple people asking for some examples or case studies for both email and great web design. Brett, I know you mentioned an organization specifically. Do you have any other organizations or companies that listeners might want to check out for good ideas in terms of emails?
Yeah, you know, as far as design, if you just do Google for email layouts, you get some great designs out there. There's so many different sources for looks of emails. As far as resources to just learn more about email, Salsa Labs, we've got examples of case studies at our site. I think ReturnPath, which I mentioned, is a good resource as far as deliverability and trends. Is another company to look at. And then if you are looking, really want something like commercial, Momentum is a company that is a provider of the actual email program, and they do webinars quite often when it comes to marketing and getting very good campaigns when it comes to email. All those I myself attend regularly to see what they have to say.
Cool. And Elliot, any organizations that particularly stand out for you in terms of best practices or?
Well, I'm not going to list off any of our clients. In general, I mean, the best known organizations when it comes to raising online and focusing mainly online and through social media are really Cherry Water and the most recent Kony campaign. Are great examples to look at when it comes to trying to create a viral movement and really supporting and creating engagement online.
Fabulous. All right, so we're running short on time. We have about 3 minutes left. So really quickly before I get into the outro, I have one last question. Someone that's saying we're just starting in terms of online donations, and she's asking for the top three things that they need to do to ensure success, but could you guys both give just your number one, if you don't take anything else away from this webinar, I hope you took this away, tip to the listeners?
Sure, I can start off. I mean, I listed my top six, really, but I mean, when it comes down to it, your website is your most important feature online. It's really your new storefront. It's the way you're communicating easily with your potential donors or current donors. And most of the time, for a majority of our clients, the website isn't really given that number one priority. So you need to make sure that you're tracking it, first of all, but also continually testing and upgrading, running A/B tests, running multivariate tests, testing new video, testing new features. It's well worth it at the end of the day. Any slight improvements you're going to make in conversion rates and average time on site, it's really going to pay off in the long run, especially as you start investing in driving more traffic to your website.
And when it comes to on the email end of things, totally agree with Elliot as far as testing and measuring. What gets measured gets done. But email specifically is very much about the messaging. Too many emails, you turn people off. Bad asks, they're not going to give, or they might delete, you know, unsubscribe or mark you as spam. So I think messaging is key, and focusing that message to get people excited and interested is the top goal of email.
Awesome. Well, we still have several questions in the queue, and I know that Brett and Elliot both agreed to maybe take a look after the fact and reach out to people individually, so don't despair if your question wasn't addressed today. But unfortunately, we are out of time, and on behalf of Fundraising Success and Salsa Labs, I want to again thank Elliot and Brett for being here, and all of you for attending today's webinar. Please be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our upcoming and archived events. We have quite an extensive library there at fundraisingsuccessmag.com/webinar. So with that, have a great afternoon, and I hope to see you at the next Fundraising Success webinar.